Well, good morning, everybody. And I want to certainly say thank you, Jesus, for the presence that we feel here today. There are churches meeting all over America and around the world that don't feel this presence. And just because it says church over the door does not mean that the Lord is residing there. But I can feel the presence of God here today, and I'm very, very thankful for that. I don't ever want to take that for granted. And I've been in a few churches that I didn't feel that. And what a travesty that is. But thank God you have churches at least a church in this area where God shows up in that. They invite the presence of God in. Regardless, they're not trying to push an agenda. They're trying for just to worship God. And they want His presence to come in here and to change lives. And so I'm very, very thankful for that He is here today. And also I want to say thank you to the Greeleys, Pastor Greeley and his wife, for having us up here. And their goal is simply to prepare people for the soon return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And there's a lot of people that's not even on their radar. I rub shoulders with people all the time that they have an agenda that has been put into them as a child. I have to have the next big house, the next big boat. This, that, I got to build the big business. There's nothing wrong with having any of that. But if that has you, then you got a problem. If you're consumed with that and Jesus and the second coming are not even on your radar, you've got a big problem. And so I made up in my mind this year, I've done it for years, but I made up in my mind this year, I was going to make sure everybody that I met that Jesus was on their radar. Because there is coming a time before very long when those clouds are going to split open. The Bible tells us that there would be mockers in the end time that say, oh, I've heard about that second coming of Jesus since the beginning of time, and it hasn't happened yet. But the Bible says, make no mistake, there's coming a time when those clouds will split open. Jesus Christ will come back with the sound of a trumpet to gather His elect unto Him. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet Him in the air. Every single person sitting in this room needs to be prepared for that event. You need to be born again. There's a scripture behind us on the wall right here. Acts 2:38. I have heard over the years so many different definitions of the born again experience. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3, except a man's born again, you can't enter or see the kingdom of God. I have heard, you would not believe how many different definitions I've heard of. Everybody says, well, I'm born again. And I'd say, well, define that. People that have come to my Bible study, and you would not believe how many different definitions of the born-again experience that I've heard. Oh, just do this, just do that. And I'm like, there's more to it than that. I've been to these Christian concerts and heard them, just do this, and you can walk out of here saved. And I thought, oof. So, thank God there are churches, and that's why I say this about the Greeleys in this church, is because I know what they teach, and they're teaching the full truth, the gospel of the kingdom of God, without fear or favor, without an agenda. It's simply to get you to heaven. That's it. And so thank God for churches all around the world. Like He said, there's stuff happening all around the world. In the midst of all this crazy, nutty world, God is moving and there's big revivals happening. And the greatest time of revival the world's ever seen is ahead of us now. And so their reason for having us up here is the same goal that I have, is to put Jesus on your radar if He's not there already. And I understand I'm preaching to the choir here, but if there's somebody here that you've got something in front of Jesus, He needs to be your number one priority. If He's second, He might as well be last. So He needs to be your number one priority. And that's why an attending a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and making sure that you're in good Bible-teaching, good Bible studies and things that can help you with your spiritual experience. When people were saved in the Bible, the New Testament churches that were established, Jews and Gentiles, they had to be discipled. People had to be taught how to pray. The Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking in bread and in prayers. They had to be taught how to live as Christians post their born-again experience. And so thank God for churches, true Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches that will do a Bible study and that will help people grow spiritually to become good, mature Christians. When you're born again, you're an infant. It's day one. But after that, you need to live and live as a Christian, need to learn to live how to function as a Christian individual. So thank God, because I know of many, many churches that I'm affiliated with that teach the Bible without an agenda. They're not trying to walk you through the tulips on Sunday morning and then send you home. And everybody feels good, but nobody changed. I'm not into that. I'm into people changing your life, preparing for the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the number one goal. Amen? Okay. So with that said, we've got somebody that showed up today to be baptized. We're going to be baptizing him. Amen. David in the back. And so if anybody else in here has never been baptized, today would be a great opportunity. And I'm going to teach for a while, and then I'll probably teach till about noon, maybe just thereafter. We're going to do a Q&A session, and then I'll turn it back over to the ministry team here, and they're going to facilitate his baptism. If at that time you think, well, man, I've never been baptized, today would be a great day to do that. So very, very important. I'm going to go through this, and then I'll get out of the way, and we'll let the important stuff happen. All right. Everybody be seated. Who is here this morning that was not here last evening? Raise your hand. Okay, so the ushers will help me. We've got some magazines, and I want to make sure you get one of these magazines. Keep your hand up until you get one of these magazines. Keep your hand up. If you were not here last evening, make sure you got one of these magazines. Very, very, very important. There's some stuff in here that I want to make sure that you participate in. When you get the magazine, turn to the middle where you see this envelope, because I'm going to collect these envelopes here in just a moment, okay? So when you get the magazine, turn open the envelope really quick. I'm going to go through some things, and then we'll collect these here in between the when am I teaching and then the Q&A session. And in the Q&A session, let me just tell you, they're going to have some roving mics. Raise your hand. You can ask a question, and we'll banter back and forth, you and I. And just, you know, if you've got a question, preferably be nice if you would write it down. Because, number one, it's not testimony service. It's a Q&A. So you ask about a one-sentence question, and then, and not when were the dinosaurs here. Okay, so we're going to stay away from the dinosaurs today. We'll let Pastor cover that later on, or these guys. But we'll stay right with prophecy this morning, okay? If you've got a prophecy question you've always wanted to ask, I don't care what it is. A Battle of Armageddon, Mark of the Beast, world religion, the peace agreement, whatever. What did Jesus mean when he, Matthew 24, when he said this? Those are the kind of questions we want, because we're trying to educate people. That's what all this is all about. Because Jesus Christ is coming back before very long. I know you've heard that, you know, back in, they used to have the book, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come in 1988. Or Y2K, the lights are going to go out and Jesus is coming and there's going to be a global economic collapse and all this other stuff. Well, none of that happened. The four blood moons and all that other stuff. And so, a lot of people have said, well, nobody can understand this stuff. What's the point? But Daniel, Jesus, the Apostle Paul and John all said specifically, you can understand these things. It wasn't time for many of them to understand these things. None of the apostles understood the writings of Daniel, so they couldn't understand. But we can understand the things. Now, God told Daniel, in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, he was asking the Lord, when's all this stuff going to wrap up? When's all this stuff going to happen? And the Lord said, no. He said, yeah, I'm not going to tell you. Read it, Revelation 12, or Daniel chapter 12. He said, you close up and seal your book for the people of the time of the end. Well, guess who that is? We're looking at us. Now, we can understand the writings of Daniel and all of the apostles, the prophecies they talked about. Of course, the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is really pretty easy to understand. I have pastor friends that say, Dave, that's why I have you come every year, because I don't understand. I've never taught out of the book of Revelation past Revelation 4:1. Or they might talk about the New Jerusalem. But other than that, they're like, I don't understand all them beasts and all that comic book stuff. And I'm like, well, I understand. And, of course, that's why I do so many of these conferences. Thank God for pastors that will have us because they want their churches to know. But just very, very important that we can understand these things. And that's why the Bible study that you'll participate in here starting Tuesday evening is called Understanding the End Time. And it will really walk you through these things in specific detail. Last night was just a treetop version. each Bible study will deep dive into these subjects and document everything. It's really cool, and I hope you all can participate in that. If you've already been through this stuff, bring a friend. Bring a coworker. Bring somebody in your family that's never heard this. And I promise you, if they come to one, they'll be hooked on them. And so, very, very important. The Bible study, I think we signed up a bunch of people last night. We signed up 13 last night. But if everybody brought one, you could have 25 or 30 people in a Bible study here. And this it would talk about a shot in the arm. And so, very thankful for that. Okay, open to the envelope. First one, partner with End Time. End Time's a partner supported ministry. I'm not going to spend near as much time on this as I did last night. Partner supported ministry. We're reaching people all over the world. We've got a gigantic internet presence. Somebody from every country in the world, at least one person, comes to our website, our main page, every month. And then, of course, some people, there are thousands. So, I mean, we've got, I don't know, it's thousands and tens of thousands of people that come to our website. Vince could give you all the specific details. He's our numbers guy. It's some ridiculous amount. I don't even know. And then I know we're reaching millions and millions and millions of people every month. And then, so if you'd like to partner with us in that, we've got a college in downtown Jerusalem. We're reaching Jews with this. Jews love Bible prophecy, by the way. Our guides have told us for years. The Jews aren't interested in this stuff. We had a prophecy conference, and we had 250 people show up at that prophecy conference in downtown Jerusalem. And that's where we started our first conference. That's where we started our first Bible study there. And that was in 2012 or 13. And we still have people that attend our physical college in Jerusalem from that first prophecy conference. And, of course, we have many other people besides that, and all of the aimers that go there, they all go through our college. So God is helping us to reach people literally all over the world. I've sent people to missionaries for years. I told you last night about the woman that started a church in Slovakia off of our material and wanted us to come pastor the church. And I'm like, I'm doing good to facilitate what I've got going on in Dallas, much less coming to Slovakia. But missionaries, I've called so many missionaries over the years to help people go to these churches and be saved and be baptized in New Zealand and all over the place. So if you'd like to partner with us in that effort, certainly would love for you to do that. Just fill in the top there. Number two, subscribe to End Time Magazine, a very influential periodical. To my knowledge, it's the most widely read prophecy magazine in the world. We started it back in 1991. In 2005, we subscribed all over the Congress. The Senator, House of Representatives, all the Speaker of the House, Secretary of State, all the presidents. George H. Bush got his. President Obama got his during his entire tenure. Donald Trump got his all the way through. Joe Biden's got his during his first 3-plus years. And so I don't know if he's reading it or not, but he got it. And so it's very influential. I've got letters and books and things back from them, signed books and different things. It's been really neat because they're reading it. I've got a friend of mine who remodels the offices of the members of Congress. When they go in, they want their office remodeled. Well, he's a very, very good finished carpenter, and you've seen some of their offices, all that really decorative woodwork. Well, he can do all that. And so he goes in there, and he will remodel. And he told me, he said, I've seen End Time Magazine sitting on many of their desks over the years. And I'm like, oh, man, that's awesome. So, and all the movers and shakers in the media industry, our partners have subscribed them to End Time Magazine over the years. So it keeps you up to date, cutting edge, what's going on in the news every day. And believe me, blood, sweat, and tears goes into every one of those magazines since 91. And years ago, we talked to my father-in-law about, because a lot of major magazine publications are going strictly online, no more physical mags. So we talked to my father-in-law about doing it years ago, and he said, well, God told me to start doing this, and he hadn't told me to stop. So until he does, no. And so we thought, okay. And until he tells me to stop, we're never going to stop this. Because people will have churches and different people that get 50 of these at a time, and they'll put their church stamp on the back, church sticker on the back, and then they'll put them in laundromats and doctor's offices and dentist offices. People see that and like, wow, I want to know more about this. I just put one in my chiropractor's office the other day. When we set it down, some dude grabbed it. And I'm like, that's for you. And because I wanted people to read it. And he was like, I want to read this. He rolled it up and put it in his pocket. But man, I just laid it there. That's how it works. And people come to churches from this stuff. It's a cool outreach. So anyway, subscribe to End Time Magazine. The third thing on the bottom right-hand side says, I'd like to receive End Time's e-weekly newsletter. Every week, our staff puts together video clips, news clips, all kinds of things, showing you how current events that were prophesied about 2,000, some of them 2,500 years ago, are coming to pass right now, letting us know we're just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so we send out tens and tens of thousands of these every Friday morning. It's free. Just need to fill out your email on the left side. I'd like for you to fill out all the information on the left side in case we do another meeting or something happens. I mean, if I knew Jesus was coming back tomorrow, would you want to get an email? Okay, I don't know that. But I'm just saying, for instance, some big thing happening. And so, but I need your email. Make sure it's legible and check the box. I want to receive End Times e-weekly newsletter. Most importantly, the second red sentence on the bottom right-hand side. I want to join an End Time Bible study. This church has been so kind as to, they're going to facilitate, Pastor talked about it, they're going to facilitate an End Time Bible study here with our brand new material. Nobody in here, I promise you, unless you've got our End Time Plus, has seen it. We just got the product in June of 2023, and the books and everything, brand new, totally updated. And they're going to facilitate that Bible study here starting this Tuesday, March 26th, at 7 p.m. And I've done hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these in our television studios there in Dallas. And I've had them start out with 10 people and end up with 35. Because I, the first one, I'd say, hey, you know, invite somebody. And once they see the importance of it, they're like, oh, my goodness, this guy I work with has got to come to this. And so my mom's got to come. So this thing could explode if you'll work it. To get people to come. And everybody invite one person, this thing will go nuts. And this whole church would be full next time we come. That's the goal. And filling up you guys in the balcony would be full. You'd have to be sitting chairs down the middle aisle. That's the goal in this whole thing. We're supposed to build the kingdom of God. That's what we're working on, right? So, this Bible study can help you do that. It's a collective effort of the church to win people to God. What we're doing is we're taking people out of Satan's kingdom and placing them in God's kingdom. And so that's the goal in all of this. So, check the box. I want to join this End Time Bible study. And because I'm telling you, there's a lot of things happening to you right now that if you don't know about this stuff, you're going to be stuck. Ashley can attest to that. There's stuff happening. I do interviews on Pete Santilli all the time, and I'm updating him on what's going on. He knows a lot of it, but there's still things happening. If you, Glenn Beck, all these guys that have these news stations, they don't understand the prophetic perspective of it, and they're stuck. When I go on there, they're like, Grant Stinchfield, I was on his program. I told him about world government. This guy was on Newsmax. He was their head guy for Newsmax for years. And when I talked to him about the modern nations in the Bible and all this stuff, he was like, I tied all the pieces together. He looked at it from a secular viewpoint. But once I tied all the pieces together prophetically, he said, I've never heard this in my entire life. I blew his mind. The Bible blew his mind. And he was flipping. He said, we just tied all these pieces together. He was wondering how all this stuff fit and this, the World Health Organization, the whole thing. I said, it's all part of a global international establishment. He was like, oh my goodness, I see it. I said, it's all in the prophecies of the Bible, Grant. He was flipping. And I've done that over and over on these television and radio programs. A lot of times they don't even know what to ask me. I've got to send them questions prior to. And so this End Time Bible study is going to walk you through all that. You can understand these end time Bible prophecies. So that's going to happen this Tuesday night. Make sure you check the box and then take the envelope out of. Keep the magazine. There's some very, very important articles in the mag that we want you to read. We designed it that way. Be very carefully. Pull these out around the staples and I'm going to collect the envelope, but keep the magazine, okay? I'll collect those here in just a moment. Okay, here we go. There we go. Perfect. So, hold right there for just a moment. So, breaking prophecy. The things are happening in the news right now. So, in the end time, there are do's and don'ts. Things that you absolutely have to participate in the end time. And there are things that, of eternal consequence, you cannot participate in that. So, there is Bible prophecies and different things, but what it shows me is that God did not want his church walking through the end time in the dark with blinders on. Doesn't work like that. God's not the author of confusion. God wants to expose. Revelation chapter 13 is God exposing Satan's master plan for this world in the end time. Revelation 13, world government, world religion, and the mark of the beast, a global economic sanctioning system. God is exposing Satan's effort to build his kingdom in the earth. The world government that's being established right now, that's Satan's effort to build his kingdom. Politics is Satan's method of ruling the world. The church is God's method of ruling the world. What do you want to be a part of? I talk about politics, but it is as corrupt as it gets. If you deal with any of these people at all, right, Ashley? If you deal with any of these people, they are as corrupt as you can imagine. Probably worse than you can imagine. They get caught up in so much power and money that they've got to feed their ego and feed their inner man, and they'll do whatever it takes to feed that. And they don't care about you, they don't care about me, because they think, well, we've got all the power, and it becomes it's horrific. It's Satan. And so, God didn't want us walking through all this with blindfolds on. He wanted us to be able to walk through these end times, know what's going on, participate in this, yes, church, don't participate in that. And so we walk through these things. So I just wanted to give you some breaking prophecy news that's happening right now today. The six major things that you should be watching for in the near future. Now, there are many. I just pulled six because there's no way I'd have time to go through it all. The Bible study will take you through all of it in great detail. Okay? So, prophecy. Jesus said, now I've told you these things that before they come to pass, that when they come to pass, you might do what? Believe. What did he want you to believe in? He wanted you to believe in world government. Now, yes, he wants you to know about that stuff, but the Bible says in Revelation 19 that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus Christ knew that one of the easiest ways for me to get your faith built in the Word of God, which is the only book on the planet that has the words to eternal life, is prophecy. There's many ways to do that. But one of the ways, which we're called to do, is Bible prophecy. And if a prophecy is given 2,000 to 2,500 years ago, if I can use current events to show you how those prophecies are coming to pass, which is the only book in the world that I can do that with, by the way. It's not the Quran and all these other books. All these other religious books, like Pastor said, I don't like the word religion. All these other religious books. The Bible is the only book that has the words to eternal life. Jesus Christ knew that. Yeah, amen. So, Jesus Christ knew that. So he said, hey, I'm telling you these things before they come to pass, that when they come to pass, you might believe. Well, that's what we're going to do here today. All these prophecies written in the Bible, or many of them, I'm going to show you how they're coming to pass right now, so that I'm going to build your faith in that book. Because a lot of people have read religious books and self-help books and all these other things. But the biblical illiteracy is something I deal with on a daily basis at our ministry. I've had pastors and missionaries and people that have called us and from different denominations all over the place, and I have found that their biblical illiteracy is astonishing. They knew a surface knowledge. They'll go to all these seminaries and things, and these Bible colleges, and they're learning how to run a church financially, and how to gather a crowd, and how to have picnics, and how to do, to speak the agenda-driven stuff. But when it comes to good old Bible, they're lost. When we get just below the surface, they know the surface. They know the surface talking points. But when it gets below the surface and you start digging into some of these topics, they're like, and I'm like, okay, now I know where you're at. Am I making fun of them? Absolutely not. I feel sorry for many of them. Because you've got to have a working knowledge of the Word of God. That's what these Bible studies are all about. The Bible study perhaps will continue. We're going to talk about it today. But it may continue beyond that with the prophecy and then going to understanding the Bible. Keys to spiritual growth. Life and teachings of Jesus Christ. And then Satan defeated, sonship restored. You need to understand these things. It will help you in your spiritual growth. And so very, very important. So, we'll talk about some of this today. The six major prophecies that will soon come to pass. Some of them are coming to pass as we speak. So in Bible prophecy, some of the prophecies are once and done. It happens and it's over with. And you can look back and say, that was the prophecy. Some of them are ongoing, and they'll be ongoing until Jesus Christ returns. Some of them are for another 1,000 years, the 1,000-year millennial reign. But some of them are once and done. The Chernobyl nuclear accident, the third trumpet, that was once and done. But some of them, world government, is the ongoing fulfillment. Okay, we're watching that. So the six major prophecies that will soon come to pass or are ongoing. The first one, the world's greatest war is going to destroy one-third of all of mankind on the earth. I talked about this a little bit last night. You'll learn about it in lesson 4 of the Bible study that's coming up here on Tuesday. Or actually the fourth week. And it's a commitment, but I'm telling you, I don't know how many people I've taken through it. And it's very, very enlightening. I've had people come to me and say, oh my goodness, I didn't have a clue. I took a people in New York through it. I went to Manhattan. I flew up there from Dallas to Manhattan 20 weeks in a row. Took a Bible study through that, and the church is still there today because of that. We started a church with using these Bible studies. And I taught a lady about world government that worked at the United Nations. And I told them, the United Nations is the seat of that world government. She come to me and she says, I worked there. I didn't have a clue about any of this stuff. She said, I see it now that you've taught us. But she said, I didn't have a clue. She said, do I need to quit? And I said, no. I said, I wouldn't quit at this point, but there may be a time when you have to. I said, we need to win people to God out of that place because it is as corrupt as it gets. The United Nations is so anti-Semitic right now, it is unreal. They're as anti-Israel as you can get. And it's Satan establishing his world-governing body. The Bible says Satan gives this entity its seat, power, and great authority, the dragon. The efforts to establish a world-governing body in the world today is Satan's the principal driver behind that. You understand we don't war against flesh and blood, right? We're warring against spirits and principalities, wickedness. And so that's what we're dealing with. On your knees, it's much more powerful than if you had an army. Okay? I'm not worried about Joe Biden. If I can go back here and have a prayer meeting, not worried about Joe Biden. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. He needs to be worried about us. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Right? So very, very important. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. The Antichrist is coming. He is coming. I'm sure he's probably alive on the earth today. He has to be. But the fact of the matter is that I'm not worried about him. He's got to be worried about the church. The Bible says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Not worried about him. So very, very important. Okay. Six major prophecies are going to come to pass. World war is coming. Revelation 9, verse 13 through 21. The Bible says, loose the four angels bound in the great river Euphrates, for to kill a third part of all of mankind. And why am I talking about the fifth trumpet now? Because a lot of people have said, well, in the book of Revelation, the seven seals, trumpets, and vials, the skeletal structure of the book of Revelation, that only happens during the final 7 years. That's actually a misinterpretation of Scripture. The first four seals have already been opened. I talked about the four horsemen of the apocalypse last night. Those are the first four seals. Those have been opened years ago. Okay? The Catholic Church started in about 300, 325 A.D., and I know messing with some of your theology, the Catholic Church did not start with Jesus. Okay, just everybody relax a little bit. Don't shoot darts at me on the way out the door. But the thing is, the Catholic Church began about 300, 325 A.D. when the Romans adopted this a certain doctrine as the Roman Universal Doctrine. Or the Roman Catholic means universal. The Roman Catholic Doctrine. Okay, so about 300, 325 A.D. in there. And the other councils that they had between 325 and 380. So that's the opening of the white horse, the seal, all the way back then, well over 1,000 years ago. And then you had the red horse and the black horse and all of those things. So those seals have already been opened. The first five trumpets have already occurred in the book of Revelation. There's seven trumpets. The first five have already opened. Those events are done. This war is the sixth trumpet. Just really quick. The first five trumpets. World War I was the first trumpet. You'll learn about this in lesson 12 of the lessons coming up. We got one on seven trumpets. The first trumpet was World War I. The second trumpet was World War II. The third trumpet, now understand the timing. First trumpet, World War I, 1914 to 1919-ish. Okay? So the 2,000-year-old prophecy, it happened within the last 110 years. The second trumpet, 1939 to 1945. So you see how they start clicking off now. The third trumpet was the Chernobyl nuclear accident, April 26, 1986. So now look how close we are. I graduated high school in 1986. Now it's getting real close. The fourth trumpet was the tearing down of the Berlin Wall and the speeding up of time with the process of globalization in 1989. The fifth trumpet was the Iraq War with Saddam Hussein. And again, I'm tree-topping it today. You'll deep dive when you get back to all these Bible studies. That's why I push these Bible studies as much as I can. Get your friends and family here. If you don't know about this stuff, they need to know about it. God wanted us to know about it. It's very, very important. So, the fifth trumpet, the Iraq War with Saddam Hussein in 1991. So, in just over the last 110 years, the first five trumpets have occurred. This war is the sixth one. World War III. World War I was 8.3 million people killed. They called it the Great War. It's the first time that many people have been killed in a war. 8.2 million. World War II, 20 years later, about 52 million-ish were killed. This war is going to kill one-third of the world's population, about 40 times that much. In 2022, we went through about up to 8 billion, so it'd be about 2.7 around there. 2.7 billion will die in this war. You say, Dave, I don't believe that. I understand. It's hard to wrap your mind around, but the prophecies always come to pass. I could take you through a list. There's about 1,000 prophecies in the Bible concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. A vast majority of them, there's only a few left prior to his second coming. Only a few left. A vast majority of them have already occurred. I could take you through a timeline here today that would probably flip most of you out to see how far we are off into this and how close the second coming is. I don't have time to do that. The Bible study is going to take you through all that stuff. But this war is the next event. There's two events to occur on God's prophetic timeline. From the Old Testament prophets to Revelation 22, there's a giant timeline of events that God laid out for us. That's what I follow in great detail. The next two events on that prophetic timeline are the sixth trumpet war, which I just talked to you about. That's the first one. And then the second one here is a Middle East peace agreement will begin the final 7 years to the Battle of Armageddon, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Number one, let's back up one, guys, up there. I'm sorry. Something I want to hit there. This, when we're talking about World War III, the Bible says, loose the four angels bound in the great river Euphrates. I mentioned this last night. The Euphrates is housed in Turkey, Syria, Iraq, and Iran. All four of those nations are involved in the conflict going on in the Middle East as we speak. Turkey is a supporter of Hamas. Syria and Iraq, and of course, Iran's the head of the snake, everything going on here. So they're all they would love to destroy Israel. Turkey believes that Israel is theirs as well. And so they're all trying to destroy them. In my life, I'm 55 years old. I was born in 1968. In my lifetime, I've never heard World War III talked about like I have right now. It rolls off of these politicians' tongue. World War III. I told last night, I put it in my book out there, and it's in the DVDs, that they believe that there is a surplus population of people on the earth, and it's unsustainable. We can't feed them. We can actually feed a whole lot more than we have right now. But it's their spin. It's their agenda they're pushing. We need to get rid of a lot of people because there are people that have said we need to kill off a lot of people. They have already talked about World War III scenarios to do that. I've got it in the book. I've documented it. And so it's very important we understand what's going on here because World War III is being talked about. And Donald Trump is saying, well, if you don't elect me president, you're going to have World War III. Well, we're going to have it whether he's elected or not. It's in the prophecies of the Bible. And so we need to know about that kind of stuff. Will it reach the shores of the United States? Most likely. And I don't even like, this is one I really don't even like talking. I don't like talking about this, and I don't like talking about the mark of the beast. But this is going to happen. You say, are you trying to scare me? No. What did I tell you I was trying to do here this morning? I'm trying to prepare you. Same goal as a pastor, to prepare you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. This gentleman that's going to be baptized today, awesome. It's going to be the first day of the rest of your life. Because there's nothing more important than that. I don't care what you did in your life prior to this or what you will do after. This is the most important day of your life. And so I've seen thousands and thousands of people go through this same experience. And I'm telling you, I had a professor, a great friend of mine to this day, years ago, he went to Israel with us. Very, very well-read, intelligent, fabulously wealthy. And he got baptized. Come up out of the water, got the Holy Ghost. He come to me. I can't tell you how many times on that trip he said, Dave, this is the first day of the rest of my life. This is the first. He said, I thought I had it all figured out. Because very, very intelligent guy. And he said, but Dave, this is the first day of the rest of my life. It was like a brand new experience to this guy who thought he knew about everything. Because very smart, very well-read guy. But, and we've talked about that many times since then. He's a great friend of mine. He said, Dave, my life changed. I thought I had it all figured out. But he said, now I know what life's all about and where I'm going. Where I came from, why I'm here, and where I'm going. It's so cool. So thankful for that. And that could happen to many people here today. If you've never been baptized, it'd be a good day. Okay, so World War, it's coming. The second thing on this big timeline that God has given us is a Middle East peace agreement that's going to begin the final 7 years of the Battle of Armageddon, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Daniel 9:24-27 talks about a 490-year prophecy concerning Daniel and his people. And 483 years of that prophecy ended with the coming of the Messiah. There's a seven-year period left. And the Bible says that he, the Antichrist, not the Pope. A lot of people teach it the Pope. It's not. The he in Daniel 9:27 is the Antichrist. The Antichrist will confirm a covenant with many for a final seven-year period. The covenant that he will confirm is the covenant it's the Abrahamic covenant where in Genesis 15:18, that the Lord promised Abram, his name hadn't been changed to Abraham yet, Abram, the promised land from the river in Egypt all the way up to the great river, the river Euphrates, all the way up in Syria. Israel only inhabits just a small sliver of the promised land. And God said, I'm going to give you this, all of this land as a promised land to you. Abram was standing in the promised land at that point. He said, I'm giving you all this, you and your descendants. We learn later in the Bible that it's to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their lineage, not through Ishmael. You guys, most of you probably already know the story about that. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations. Now you know why they're all bickering, right? And because they believe, hey, Israel's ours, that land. Because our father was the firstborn son, Ishmael. But God specifically says, Abraham, I've heard, I know, understand about Ishmael, and I'm going to give him, many princes will come out of him, but this land is between you, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and that lineage. And so it's important that we know that today, because today you're being sold in the news that Israel's occupying the West Bank. And they are encroachers there, and they're settlers, and the boycott, divest, and sanction movements are boycotting them because they're out there occupying the land. God gave them that land. They're not occupying anything. It's disputed territory. That's their land out there. And much of Jordan, and all the way down into Egypt, and all the way up into Syria. Now, when the millennial reign comes, Israel's going to get all that back. And so they've only had it under the reigns of David and Solomon. That's the only time they've inhabited the entire promised land. They're going to get all that back. But until then, they're going to be fighting every day for it. And so it's a mess. Well, there's coming a peace agreement in the near future. And he, the Antichrist, will confirm the covenant with many for a seven-year period. There's more that goes into that. The abomination of desolation, a lot of different things. But that's Daniel 9:27. It will confirm Israel's right to exist in the Middle East. It's going to create a two-state solution. So there are five biblical characteristics. How are we going to know? Because there have been other peace agreements. There's been the Y River Accords, the Oslo Peace Accords. How are we going to know when it's the one that starts the final 7 years? How will I know when I can go on the radio and say, folks, we've started the final 7 years? How will I know that? There's five biblical characteristics to this peace agreement. This is how we will know. There's going to be a two-state solution created. Guess what they're talking about on the front page of every Israeli news source on the planet? A two-state solution. Joe Biden, the international community, is trying to push this two-state solution down Israel's throat to stop this current Gaza war. The Bible says there's going to be a two-state solution created. The Jews living out in Judea, which is the modern-day West Bank, will be allowed to live out there as a Jewish minority under that two-state solution, under that Palestinian jurisdiction. You say that's impossible. I've got articles that say Netanyahu has said we will not pull them out, in a future peace agreement, we will not pull them out of the West Bank, like, or in the, he says Judea, which is correct, actually. The West Bank is the international community's name for that. But Judea, scripturally, Judea, Samaria. And then, like Ariel Sharon, when he gave Gaza to the Palestinians, trading land for peace, promised land for peace, they went in and drug about 9,000 Jews out of there kicking and screaming. Netanyahu said, we're not going to do that in a future peace agreement. So Netanyahu has already agreed to allow Jews who want to live out there as a Jewish minority to stay there. The Bible says that's exactly what's going to happen. Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus said, you shall see the abomination. When you see the abomination of desolation occur, let them which be in Judea flee. He's painting a picture here of the volatile situation that's what it's going to be like during that time. There will be Jews that live out there that will have to flee into Israel proper. Many people have said the Jews will flee into Petra at that time. That's not scriptural. In Zechariah, the Bible says that Judah will be fighting in Jerusalem at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. It totally disproves. I've been to Petra. You can, down in Petra, right down in the center, you can only get about 800 people there. That would be a suicide mission for the Jews to go down there. So anybody that teaches you that's never been to Petra. Okay? Been there, and that's simply not going to happen. So those are the first two. The Temple Mount is going to be placed under a sharing arrangement in Revelation under this new peace agreement. These are the characteristics. Revelation chapter 11, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, John, measure the temple. He's talking about a third temple. How do you know that? Because John was exiled out on the Isle of Patmos in 95-96 A.D. When was the temple destroyed by the Roman general Titus? What year? Anybody know? 70 A.D. So he was exiled out on the Isle of Patmos and given a vision of a future temple, a third temple that would be built. The Bible says, the Lord said, John, measure the temple, but don't measure the outer court, because it will be trodden down to the Gentiles 42 months. There's going to be a sharing arrangement under this new peace agreement in the near future, and that sharing arrangement is going to allow Israel to build her third temple. That's a lot of what the red heifer and all that stuff's all about. And the fifth characteristic of this peace agreement coming up is that Israel will retain control of Jerusalem all the way to the very end. Now, that's total treetop of that prophecy. The Bible study will walk you through that in great detail and document the whole thing. Right now, I can't do that. I don't have near the time. So, a peace agreement is coming. You're watching. They're talking about the two-state solution. They've tried it many times. Israel and the Palestinians, if they didn't like it, they could just get up and walk away from the table. Josep Borrell, one of the leaders of Europe right now, over the last month or two, he has said, we're done with that. We want to take away that veto power, and we, the international community, have the means and the wherewithal to impose a situation on these guys. I've never heard that before in my life. I heard it over the last couple months. We, the European Union and the international community, need to impose a solution on them. We don't need to allow Israel to have veto power. We can go ahead. I'm almost positive. I read an article today. Well, Joe Biden and his administration said that we can go ahead and recognize a Palestinian state without Israel's approval. Totally anti-Semitic, totally anti-Israel. And I'm like, this guy here, he is treading on dangerous ground. The Bible says, I will bless them that bless you, Abraham, and I will curse them that curse you. And God's got a way of judging people. He don't have to judge the whole United States, but if Joe Biden and them keep messing around, I'm telling you, the judgments will fall. It's happened before, and it can happen again. Ariel Sharon, the leader of Israel, the prime minister of Israel, traded land for peace during his tenure, and he, at the end of his life, he went into a coma and never woke up. So God's got a way of judging, I'm telling you. And so you don't mess with Israel. We've got to stand with Israel. I don't care what Washington does. We've got to stand with Israel all the way through. I'm heavily invested in Israel. And I'm invested in the people. And I'm not so concerned about the land, but I'm concerned about the people. We don't go over there planting trees and stuff like that. I'm teaching them Bible studies. Because I'm telling you, those clouds are going to split open one of these days, before very long. We're racing the rapture here. And can I prove to you the day it's going to happen? No. But I know what, I can watch these times and seasons. I'm telling you, it's coming before very long. Number three, the United Nations is going to continue its drive towards becoming a one-world governing body. I talked about it last night, but really quickly, FDR was a globalist. He believed in a world governing body. FDR is the one that put New World Order on our dollar bill back in 1935. If you look at your dollar bill, the little ribbon under the pyramid with the all-seeing eye, it says Novus Ordo Seclorum. That's New World Order. He was a globalist. They believed in a world governing body. Well, Alger Hiss worked right alongside his hip. If you remember, oh man, what was the guy? He just passed away. Kissinger. Alger Hiss was to FDR what Kissinger was to Nixon. They're just super glued together. He would go and do meetings for him and blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, at the end of his term, FDR was a dying man. Most of you guys know history. FDR was a dying man. He was taking this guy named Alger Hiss to all of his meetings. I'm talking about dividing up Europe and all kinds of different meetings like that. Take this guy. He was participating in everything. So they trusted this guy. He had been in all of our big meetings. So they gave him the job of being the architect of the United Nations Charter. Well, the problem is they did that. It was signed in 1945 at the end of World War II. After they did that, they found out 3 years later that he was a communist spy during the whole thing. All these high-level meetings our president was going into, he was taking this communist spy with him. So at the end of World War II, when they carved up Europe, Alger Hiss, Russia was sitting on one side, Alger Hiss was sitting on the other side, a Russian communist spy. So you wonder why Russia controlled most of Eastern Europe after World War II. Why did Russia get so many concessions and have so much of that property? Because they had their guy on both sides of the table. Okay? Alger Hiss was a communist spy. He wrote the United Nations Charter. They still function under the same charter today. A socialistic or communistic one world governing body. That's what it's designed to be. And I told you that Antonio Guterres, our current Secretary General of the United Nations, he is a socialist to his eyeballs. He is as anti-Israel. He just gave a speech yesterday, totally anti-Israel. They're trying to force them to give away promised land for peace, which is anti-Bible, period. It's diametrically opposed to the Bible. God said, when you go in there, you possess the land. You drive out the heathen. You tear down their high places. And they haven't done it. And now they've been thorns in their eyes and pricks in their eyes and thorns in their side. I always get that mixed up. So the fact of the matter is, though, they said if you don't do it, that's what it's going to be. And look at, are they thorns in their eyes and pricks in their side right now? You better believe they are. And that's what they're dealing with. So the United Nations is the seat of a world governing body. You'll learn in lesson two. The first lesson of the Bible study, this coming Tuesday, is modern nations in the Bible. United States, Great Britain, Germany, Russia, and the European Union in the Bible. I can prove it. I did it to a guy at the dinner the other night. He came up and he said, you guys are with the end time party. Are you with that big end time building over there? I said, yeah. I said, what do you guys do? I took him off to it and I said, I can prove to you the United States is in the Bible. He was like, what? He said, I've never seen that. And I said, sure. In Daniel chapter 7, he saw a lion with eagle's wings, a bear, a four-headed leopard, and a ten-horned beast. The Bible says in Daniel 7 that those beasts represent nations, kingdoms or nations, that would be on the earth at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, when the Ancient of Days comes to establish his kingdom here on the earth. So the modern-day nations, the most modern-day, the most prominent nation on the earth with the symbol of a lion is Great Britain. Go to the old satire cartoons, the lion standing there representing Great Britain, the lion on their flag everywhere. I've got so many articles that said the British lion's roaring again. Okay? The British lion. Daniel said, I beheld till the lion had eagle's wings. And he said, I beheld till the eagle's wings were plucked and made stand upon the man and upon the, made stand upon the its ground and the, it had the, I was going too fast. I beheld till the eagle's wings were plucked. It was made stand upon the feet as a man and a man's heart was given to it. So there was a modern day nation with the symbol of an eagle that was pulled out of Great Britain. Who was the modern-day nation, the symbol of an eagle? What's our mother country? Great Britain. Daniel saw the Declaration of Independence 2,500 years ago. This guy was like, you got to be kidding me. He knew it was the United States. I said, who is that? And he goes, the United States. I said, you got it. The United States in Bible prophecy. He was flipping. He said, I never knew that in my life. So it was a hook. I got him. And so then the Bible says in Revelation 13 that those nations that will be here at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ will federalize. In Revelation 13, John said, I saw a beast. Daniel saw four beasts come up out of the sea. John said, I saw a beast, a single combo beast with the body of the leopard Germany, feet of the bear Russia, the mouth of the lion Great Britain, and the ten horns of the ten horn kingdom, which is symbolic of the European Union today. It's all a European-centered world-governing body. The Bible says one of the nations would be wounded nigh unto death. Which nation of those was wounded nigh to death? The Berlin Wall. After World War II, they cut Germany in half with the Berlin Wall. And the Bible says, but when that deadly wound is healed, all the world will wonder after this beast. It's a world-governing body. As a result of that prophecy, my father-in-law wrote in a book in 1986 that this Berlin Wall is going to be torn down. The two Germanys are going to be reunited, and that will be the catalyst that would launch us into a new world order. That's exactly what happened. He wrote the book in 86. It came down in 89, and that effort is what launched End Time Ministries the year I graduated high school. And so that same world governing body that's federalized is the United Nations today. They've got the World Health Organization, the World Trade Organization, the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the International Criminal Court. What are all those entities designed to do? Govern the planet. Not govern the United States, not govern Israel or Russia or China. They're designed to govern the entire planet. And so you need to understand about the world governing body, because they have this what's called the Sustainable Development Goals, and they want to govern every single aspect of your life, down to how many times you can flush your commode. Yeah. And how much food you can eat, and what kind of food. They want you to eat crickets and stuff now. You've heard about all that. Because meat consumption adds to climate change because of the cattle. And I mean, it's just one thing after another, you guys. And how they're producing all the farm implements, tractors and combines and all that. They're adding to climate change, and so we've got to get rid of all that, and we've got to grow meat in these little tweakers in these labs. And that's what you'll eat, is lab-grown meat. And, yeah, I don't want nothing to do with none of that. So, okay, moving on really quick. Also, a global numbering system is being established, setting the stage for the mark of the beast. Central bank digital currencies is one of the number one things I see pointing us towards the mark of the beast. Our Federal Reserve System, the Federal Reserve Bank, we had what's called the Federal Reserve back in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act. I'm not going to go into the whole story for the sake of time, but the Federal Reserve Act years ago took away, and you can read The Creature from Jekyll Isle by G. Edward Griffin. He goes into unbelievable amounts of detail. It took him 7 years to write the book because of all of his documentation and research. 7 years to write a book. And he talks about how the Federal Reserve Act took the power. So the Constitution gives our Congress, a group of elected officials, the ability to run our economy. They can talk about how much money we have in circulation. When we went off the gold standard under Nixon in the early 70s, the gold standard was a checks and balances. If we had $200 million in Fort Knox in gold, then the government could loan out $200 million. It was a checks and balance. But when we went off of the gold standard onto a fiat currency, which our dollar bill isn't backed by any gold now, then that allowed them to print money like there's no tomorrow, and inflation skyrocketed because there's more demand than there is supply, so the prices go up. That's what's happening in America right now. They call it Bidenflation. I don't care what they call it. But prices are going up because they're printing money like there's no tomorrow. Well, our Congress is supposed to have the ability by our Constitution to control how much money's in America, how much money's in circulation, and raise and lower the interest rates. But the Federal Reserve Act in 1913 took the power away from Congress to do that and gave it to a cabal of private bankers, a cartel of bankers called the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve Bank today is controlled by a group of independent bankers that you nor I have enough money. All of us collectively don't have enough money to go up and knock on the door and say, can we be a part of this? They'd say, nah, we're making money hand over fist without you guys, slam. So that's who's governing that's who controls our economy as we speak. Nobody in here, unless you're, 110 years old maybe, has ever heard the Congress is getting ready to raise or lower the interest rates. Everybody in here always hears the Fed is getting to raise and lower. It should be Congress, but it's not. It's the Fed, a cabal of private bankers. They're the ones controlling. Well, now, when all of these cryptocurrencies came about, and retailers were getting ready. Elon Musk said, I'm getting ready to accept cryptocurrency for Teslas. Then I had a friend of mine try to sell me crypto, and I said, our government's getting ready to attack that like there's no tomorrow. He said, no, Target and Walmart and all of them are getting ready. These major retailers are getting ready to start accepting. He's got a brother that sells crypto. He said, all of these retailers are getting ready to accept crypto for currency. And I said, Brian, our government's going to attack that like there's no tomorrow. I kid you not. It wasn't a few months later after we had that conversation that Joe Biden came out with the executive order that said, well, because so many people have been taken advantage of from cryptocurrency, our government is going to look into providing America, thank you, Joe, with this, a government-protected central bank digital currency system. But remember, our central bank is not the government. Remember, I just told you the story. Our central bank is a cartel of private bankers. It's a cabal. They're running our economy. They're the ones that are going to put out a central bank digital currency. They would have control over every dime that goes in your account, every dime that comes out. These are programmable central bank digital currencies. And they will be able to economically sanction every single person in this room individually. I don't want that here. There is legislation by many states that are put out to not allow that as currency in their state. I hope they are successful. Donald Trump has come out and said, if I become president, we'll never have a central bank of digital currency in America. Which I don't agree with everything Donald Trump does, but I certainly agree with that. We don't want a central bank digital currency here. I don't want the government knowing. A dollar bill is freedom. I can give everybody each one $100, and you could go buy, God forbid, marijuana, or you could buy a case of gum. It's freedom. You can do whatever you want. But with central bank digital currencies, they could program them like you couldn't make certain purchases. You can't donate to a certain organization. End Time Ministries, they don't follow our narrative. You can't donate to them anymore. They could program them. It's economic sanctioning. You can only have access to these if you agree with our false narratives. See how they can sanction you? Right now we sanction nations. They want to be able to sanction individuals. So the central bank is digital currency is one of the number one things I'm seeing pushing us towards the market. There are many others. There are numbering systems we can talk about. You'll learn about all of this coming up in the Bible study. The establishment of a global religious system, I won't spend much time here, but you think about all of these. My father-in-law years ago interviewed a guy named Robert Mueller, who was the assistant secretary general to the United Nations, the UN secretary general of the United Nations. He was kind of like their spiritual guru. He's passed on now. But he told my father-in-law, he said, we've brought this world governing body as far as we can politically. We've got to have the religions of the world on board with it. We've got to be able to control the minds of the religions. Because what we want, this is happening in China, in times of crisis, they want you looking to the world government for answers, not Jesus Christ, or not your deities. All the religions of the world, they don't want you looking to your deity. They want you looking to the world government for your answers and your needs. Because they can control you like there's no tomorrow if you do that. So all of these efforts to establish a world governing body, the Parliament of World Religions, and all these huge interfaith movements and meetings that they're having, it's an effort to establish a world religious system. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13, verse 11 through 15, I saw a world governing beast, and then it says I saw a second beast come up who had two horns, and it looked like the lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. In the Bible, when you think of the lamb, who do you think of? Right. But the Bible says this entity, this beast will look like a lamb. It'll look like a religious figure. He's going to say he's a Christian, but he's going to speak like the dragon, which is Satan. His message will be very deceptive. And instead of taking people to heaven, this religious figure will be taking people to hell. And his goal will be to get the religions of the world on board to advocate for the world governing body and the Antichrist. And the Bible says that they will. Everybody whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will worship the beast. So number one, get your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's fixing to happen with David back here, just here in a little bit. But, amen. So the thing is, though, a global religious system. A lot of the churches, there are many mainline religious entities. I'm not saying true Bible-believing, Bible-teaching churches. Religious entities that are already signed on to this stuff. Here in the United States, I'm not going to name names, but I'm telling you, it's coming. We'll talk about some of them in the Bible study. And so, very, very important. You've got to understand this because you don't want to be a part of that church. God's, Revelation chapter 17 and 18 is God's judgment on these entities in the last time. The Bible says, John, come up and I will show you the judgment of the great whore. The Bible, in the true church, in the Bible, it likens her to a virgin, an uncompromised individual. But it likens the false religious system in the end time as a harlot. Now, those are hard. It's a hard term. I know. I get it. I don't go around saying harlot or whore all the time. But the fact of the matter is, God likens this false religious system in the end time as a harlot, a compromised female. And so, and God said, John, come up. I'm going to show you that I'm going to spend two chapters of the 22 chapters in the book of Revelation on my judgments of this entity. And God's actually going to destroy Rome before it's all over with. Because God is not playing around. Now he's giving men time to repent. But there's going to come a time, the Bible says, let him that be just remain just, and let him that is unjust remain unjust. There's coming a time when the gauntlet's going to fall. And there's going to be a complete separation. And that's at the time of the rapture. And if you've made yourself ready, your feet's going to lift off the ground. There was a left behind thing that was happening, going on for a while, that was saying, oh, miraculously, when the rapture happens, there's a lot of people, everybody that's left behind is miraculously going to say, wow, I probably should have done something at some point. I'll just get ready. Now, the Bible says this is the day of salvation. It's not after the rapture. Can't do that. So that's why we establish these Bible studies all over the world. You better be in a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. To some people, that's not even on their radar, guys. And I'm telling you, it's of utmost importance. Finally, and I've got probably 50 or 60 slides. I'm not going to go through. This will be my last one. Great end time revival. I am, like Pastor said, there's great things happening all over the world. If this stuff is on your radar, you can see what God's doing. Revelation chapter 7. Revelation 13 is Satan's chapter in Revelation. God's exposing that. In Revelation chapter 7, it's the revival chapter. Revelation chapter 7, verse 1 through 8. God is sealing and revealing unto us a remnant of Jews that would be saved, 144,000. I don't know if it's exactly 144,000 and that's it, or if it's a remnant of Jews. Because the Bible says God's no respecter of persons. He says 12,000 out of each tribe, but some of the tribes were giant, some of them were very small. And so it's a remnant of Jews that's going to be saved. I don't know the exact number. However, I know that there will be Jews saved prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible's talking about that, and when it's talking about his second coming, but the Bible says in Zechariah, I will save the tents of Judah first. There's going to be, as a matter of fact, I know friends, I've got Jewish friends today that are saved. So they've not been totally cut off. The Bible says Israel has been blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. I've got Jewish friends today that are saved. Many of them have been saved through our college. And then in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, John's seeing a vision of heaven is what he's seeing. He's seeing a vision in chapter 7 of the end time Jewish-Gentile church mixed. The early church was a Jewish-Gentile church mixed. The book of Romans was written to the church in Rome. Right? Ephesians and on down the road. I've been to Ephesus. And so that was where the Ephesians were located. And so different ones, not all, they were Jews and Gentiles. It's offered to Cornelius in Acts 10. You can go read it, which was a Gentile. So thank God for that, right? I mean, I've stood there at the Simon the Tanner's house where a lot of that happened and where he was praying, and God brought the sheet down and said, eat. And he was preparing Peter to go and offer the salvation to the Gentiles. I've been there, talked about it. And everybody's like, I'm like, thank God for this place right here, right? And I said, all you Gentiles, say amen. They're like, yes, amen. Because without that, we'd be stuck, right? Up until that time, it was just offered to the Jews. But there was a Jewish-Gentile church. John is seeing a vision of the Jewish-Gentile church in heaven. Goes to the Jews, 1 through 8, and then he goes, Revelation chapter 7, 9. He said, man, I turned and then I saw a multitude no man could number out of every kindred, people, tongue, and nation. I don't care what color you are. I don't care your background. I don't care about none of that stuff. God don't care. If you're a person here, you're sitting here looking me in the eyeballs, and you're breathing, and you got a heartbeat, everybody's got a soul. That's what I'm reaching for. I want that soul. I want to get you to heaven. Okay? God don't care. The Bible says that man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. That's what these Bible studies, that's what this church is dealing with. It's dealing with your heart. What's going on inside? You can look the part. But what's going on? God wants to know what's going on in here. And so that's why a good pastor, a good preacher is a heart doctor. God will give him a message and he gets up there and the Bible says that he'll just work on that heart and get you where you need to go. Because if you've got heart problems, you've got problems. Anybody in here ever had a heart problem? Your heart quits working, you're done. That's it. So you can come in here and you've got a blockage. But God can give a minister, a God-called minister, man or woman, can give them a message in prayer and come in here and unblock that blockage in your heart and you can walk out with a brand new heart. And so thankful for that. Well, that's these revivals. John saw a multitude, no make a number, out of every kindred, people, tongue, and nation, standing before God. And the elder comes to John and says, John, who are these that have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb? And John said, I don't know, thou knowest. And this is Revelation 7. And the elder says, these are they that came out of great tribulation. The great tribulation hasn't even begun yet. So there's going to be a multitude. The book of Acts was awesome, but they could number. There were 3,000 out of the church, 5,000 out of the church. But John said, I saw a multitude no man could number that came out of the great tribulation. The church has a role all the way through the end time. And that is to build the kingdom of God, seek and save that which is lost. That's what you're doing here today. And this church, it's designed to prepare you for the soon return of Jesus Christ. And so I've talked to your pastor. That's his goal. Thank God for that in this Uncasville, wherever we're at. Thank God that there are men who don't have this ulterior motive and agenda. There's a lot of big churches that have that. Oh, my goodness. I've rubbed shoulders with some of them, and I'm like, oh, man. Woo! I don't know. But the Bible talks about the greatest time of revival the world has ever known. And it's ahead of us now. So the church has a big, big job. That's God's role for the church. Politics, that's Satan's method of ruling the world. The church is God's method of ruling the world. So we've got to build the church, build the church, build the church. That's your job. David, you get baptized today, you get somebody else here next Sunday. I mean, that's what you do. It builds, it builds, it builds. And you're not building pastor's kingdom. Pastor wants to build God's kingdom. That's how the churches swell, and that's what it's supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be teaching prophecy, Pastor, and we're getting off into all kinds of stuff. But anyway, okay. So I'm going to chalk the wheels right here because I want to get off into a time of Q&A here, and that takes on a life of its own, believe me. Take out the envelopes we talked about earlier. Grab those envelopes. Keep the magazine again. Make sure you hold on to the magazine. But I want you to turn in the envelope. Make sure you check the box. Now you understand how important the Bible study is, right? Bible study, very, very, very critical. You say, well, Dave, I don't know about central bank digital currencies and world government and all this other stuff. They're trying to control every single aspect of your life. How much you pay for gasoline. Or if they do away with gasoline and push everybody towards an electric vehicle. All of those things are agenda-driven. You understand there's no such thing. It is an absolute, complete hoax. Human-induced global warming, which leads to climate change. That is an absolute farce. But they're using that to control your life. You understand? All this big drive towards electric vehicles and doing away with gasoline and diesel and moving to this wind turbines. A couple years ago, these big wind turbines that we have down in South Texas, they all froze up. And everybody in Houston, pretty much, there were pipes bursting. I've got pastor friends down there, they were flipping. They couldn't have church for weeks because the wind turbines stopped. And they're talking about this big eclipse coming, saying, well, that could interrupt our solar power and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, man, go back to gas. What in the world? But it's just crazy. But anyway, because it's agenda-driven, what they need is they need a perpetual life-threatening crisis to control you. That's all it is. And so they've had the COVID, and then they have, which COVID was very real. I get it, but the vaccines and all this other, I'm not going to get started on that. But they had COVID, and then we had, and they're threatening. Oh, there's another one. There's the X that's coming. and we're going to have vaccines for that, and we're going to all this other stuff. And then we had human-induced global warming, extinction, climate change. And then all these, it's just a perpetual life-threatening thing. Existential threat is what they like to say. It's going to kill everybody, and unless we do something about it right now. So stop using your toaster so much. That's what, I mean, this is what they want to do. And so it's just nonsense, but you'll learn about all of it in great detail. We'll talk about the Sustainable Development Goals. We'll talk about all of it in the Bible study coming up. So you got your envelopes out. So what I want to do really quick, we'll take up an offering. It cost, these prophecy conferences cost. They got airplanes and things like that. They got to fly stuff here. I didn't want to drive from Dallas. It'd take me forever. And so we want to bless the church with a good offering. And so if you guys will grab the buckets back there in the back, we're going to take up an offering. I'm going to say a word of prayer real quick. And then put your envelopes in the bucket. And if you'd love to give, we'd certainly love for you to help bless the church here. And that way, you know, keep things functioning, right? I mean, it's nice to have the heat on this morning, right? That costs money. And the lights and everything else. So very thankful for that. So let me say a word of prayer. We'll take up the offering. And then we'll go into a Q&A session. These guys have some roving mics. In other words, you raise your hand and they'll come to you and allow you to ask your question. They're not going to hand you the mic. Believe me, I've done tons of these. And once somebody gets a mic, it's like, no, they're back and forth. No, we're not doing that. The guy's going to go like this. You ask your question, and then they're going to pull the mic away from you. Because, I've been through a million of them. We could be here till 10 o'clock tomorrow morning if we did that. So anyway, that's what we're going to do right after this. And it'll be a great time. And we'll go till, 1 o'clock-ish on that, okay? So get your questions ready. And then we'll go from there. Let's say a word of prayer. I truly thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful truth-teaching church in Uncasville, Lord, in these last days. We're so thankful for that. We know how important it is that your kingdom is being built in this area. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for Pastor and his wife. Thank you for each and every one that's devoted to building your kingdom. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for each and every individual here under the sound of my voice. Lord, that just has a sincere heart, wants to know you more through your word and through the Spirit. We ask you to bless this church and bless this offering. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So they're going to come through there, put your envelopes in the bucket, check the box. I want to do the Bible study, and let's bless this church with a great offering. Now, out there on the table, there's DVDs, CDs, all kinds of stuff, books teaching you about all this stuff, and there are outlines and quiz books. All that stuff's out there. You say, well, I don't live here. I'm 5 hours away. Fine. Take the stuff with you and go through it. Teach your friends, family, your sphere of influence about this because everybody's got a mom. If you don't have a mom, what are you doing here? Everybody's got a mom. Everybody's got a dad. Everybody's got a brother, a cousin, a nephew, a niece, whatever. Co-workers. The lady who serves you your breakfast at the diner before you go to work. Whatever. Everybody's got a sphere of influence that God has chosen you to be the ambassador to reach. Not me. I'm only chosen to reach the people that will listen to us on the radio and in my sphere of influence. God's chose all of you to be the ambassador to your family and friends and everybody. So certainly reach out to them. Tell them about the Bible study. Teach them this stuff. And all the information is out there on the table to help you do that. Very, very important. And because they need to know about this stuff. Everybody's going to walk through this. I don't care if they tell you, I don't believe in this. They're still going to go through it. And so they need to know about it. Help them to understand it. And it's your job to teach them. God didn't give you all of this just to say, well, cool, I can win a debate. That's not why I want to study the Bible so I can win a debate. Uh-uh. I'm studying the Bible so I can teach people what they need to do to be prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. So everything's out there on the table. Buy it all so we don't have to ship it out. And we thank you for that. Thank you for attending today as well. So we got 34 minutes. And we'll take as many Q&A as we can. And again, one sentence, please, if possible. And I don't need the background of, the encyclopedia. Just give me one sentence and it'll make it go fast. I want to get as many as we can in. And so that's what we'll do. So if you got a question, raise your hand, and these guys are going to come to you, and then we'll just banter back and forth and go from there. So when she's done, then raise your hand back up, and then we'll go from there. Go.
Do you think that it's possible that Russia and China would be able to veto the use of chemical weapons?
That they would be able to do what?
They would be able to use chemical weapons. You were talking about veto, being able to veto certain things.
Yeah, yeah.
And do you think it'd be possible that they would be able to use have yep. the use of chemical weapons?
Yeah, absolutely. The problem is that Russia and China have UN Security Council veto power. So when Russia wanted to invade Ukraine, they passed resolutions in the UN General Assembly against that, and Russia vetoed it. And that's why a lot of people are trying to do away with the UN Security Council veto power, is so that way, because really the UN is just a paper tiger. With the big five, they can't do anything with them because they can just veto everything. So at some point, if they wanted to do that, they certainly could. And I know that's horrific, but absolutely. I mean, they could do pretty much whatever they want at this point. But like I say, there are huge moves to remove that veto power, and that way they could be the true world government. Antonio Guterres has said many times that he's upset because the United Nations doesn't have the teeth that they want, or the enforcement. He wants to be able to dictate to people rather than say, "Well, I suggest that the people around the world do this." He doesn't want that. He wants to be able to dictate. Well, that's the point. There will come a time when the Antichrist will be like that, and he's going to usurp authority over the United Nations or the world governing body, a fully functioning world governing body, and that's when the Great Tribulation will occur. So, certainly they can use that. Just grab somebody who's next. Raise your hand, and then we'll go. Okay. Yep. Yeah.
Hi, Dave. Hi. A statement, not a question. I found your statement curious. That will the Third World War reach these shores? And you said probably.
Yeah.
Probably?
Yeah.
Take a look around. No. We're being inundated as we speak to prepare us. I'll use the word homogenized from within to prepare us for the one world government and the one world religion.
Sure. No, absolutely. I think I said highly likely, didn't I?
Yeah.
So I'm sure it will reach here because we've got our hands going on in everything in the Middle East. We're so involved over there, and we're still controlling. Yeah. We're still controlling many of the oil fields that we took over in the Syrian Civil War. So they certainly want to drive us out, and I'm sure it will reach here as well. And I don't want it to. I don't want it to happen, but it's going to. Yes, sir.
Why are we so loyal to Israel and the Jews when they actually don't believe in Jesus and they killed Jesus? And Jesus even said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets."
Okay. So I'll go back to the promise that God made to Abram, where he says, "I will bless them that bless you, and I will curse them that curse you." And I don't agree with everything that Israel does. They have huge LGBTQ parades. A lot of them are atheists and things like that. I get it. But God's going to turn back to them before this whole thing's over with. And God, there's a great revival in Israel. I've seen many Jews saved already. I deal with Jews every day. And so I've seen many of them saved. So it's like people in my hometown. There's a lot of people that could care less about God. But I'm reaching for the ones that are hungry. There are hungry Jews over there. And I'm just reaching for the ones that are hungry. Not all of them will be saved. The Bible says, though, in Romans 11:25 and 26, that when the fullness of the Gentiles become in, all of Israel will be saved. The Bible gives an account in the book of Zechariah that when the Lord comes back and plants his feet on the Mount of Olives at the Battle of Armageddon, that the Jews will come out and recognize. They'll come out and they know. They didn't recognize Jesus, the lowly, suffering servant, and because they realized the prophecies in the Old Testament of the messianic figure coming as a conquering king. So when Jesus comes and plants his feet upon the Mount of Olives and basically annihilates the armies that have come down against Israel to battle, they're going to realize he's the Messiah. But then the Bible says in Zechariah that they will come out and they're going to say, they're going to notice the scars in his hands, and they're going to say, "Where'd you get those scars?" And he's going to say, "These are those with which I got in the house of my friends." And the Bible says that the scales will peel off of their eyes, and that they will recognize him as the Messiah. And Romans 11, 25 and 26 says, when the fullness of Gentiles become in, all of Israel is going to be saved. But they need to be prepared for that time, and that's why end time is having a huge effect there. We work with the missionaries there. We've got 7 full-on Filipino churches there, which are marrying the Jewish sons, taking them to church. We've got a Hispanic work in Israel, believe it or not. I didn't know about that till a couple years ago. And then we have end times work there. And there's other. I mean, Sean Turner, our missionary, are you guys live streaming this? My father-in-law years ago, she said, hi, Irvin Baxter? Yes. She said, I wanted to meet you. She said, I saw him. This is how the conversation went. Just met him. She said, I saw him. He goes, you saw who? She said, I've seen Jesus. A Jewish lady, very high influential in the government. I've seen Jesus. Now that's happening not just to Deborah, but many people. So God's moving amongst the Jews. Again, it's like here in America. If you were outside America and looking in, you would think that's the most corrupt entity on the planet. But if you come to this church, your perspective changes. Well, if you look at Israel from the outside, you'd say, man, they killed Jesus and they did this and they're atheists. There is a sect of them that's very hungry for God and the Messiah. And so those are the ones we're reaching for. And that's why we support them. Okay? Thank you. Great question. Right there.
I know there's no more flood. It says it's going to be by fire the next time.
Yes.
All right. It could be nuclear war. What part would wormwood play? Wormwood?
Yes.
Yeah, what part is that going to play?
Yeah, so that's already occurred. That prophecy, prophecy's the third trumpet. John said, I saw a star fall from heaven by the name of wormwood. In the Ukrainian Bible, that word is Chernobyl. So the Chernobyl nuclear accident. So what you got to realize with the trumpets and different things that John was seeing, God was giving him a vision 2,000 years ago of things that would happen modern day. So when you look at like World War III, and it talks about, you know, that their sting was in their mouths and their tail and all this other stuff. He gives a depiction. John was describing modern-day warfare 2,000 years ago. He had never seen a firecracker, much less a missile and all these other different things and bombs. He was just trying to do the best he could describe. So when God gave him a vision of the Chernobyl nuclear accident in 1986, John said, because what happened is the Chernobyl nuclear accident, the guy, they were just doing a normal test that night. And the guy removed the rods that kept the nuclear reaction from taking place, and he didn't get the rods back in far enough, so he started the nuclear reactor going off. The problem is a nuclear fire was set off, and there was a 2 million pound concrete lid on top of that thing. It was so, the fire was so powerful, it blew that lid off, and it come down cocked like this. There was a big round cylinder. It blew the lid off, it come down cocked like this, and a nuclear fire went 1 mile into the air. And it blew everything across Europe, and they killed tens of thousands of reindeer and all this other stuff. Well, anyway, John is doing his best to describe that event 2,000 years ago. And he said, I saw a star fall from heaven by the name of wormwood. Well, again, my father-in-law I've never had anybody do this yet, but he had some people come up to him at a conference one time who spoke. They had a Ukrainian Bible, and they said, look right here. This says you Chernobyl. And so the Chernobyl nuclear accident in 1986 was the wormwood prophecy, the third trumpet. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm wondering if the Antichrist is going to be Muslim himself, Muslim.
So I can't tell you what his ethnicity is, but I can tell you that he does not come from the Middle East. He comes from the European Union. Yes. The 10 horns in Daniel chapter 7 is the European Union. And the Bible says the little horn uproots 3 and becomes great and has a mouth speaking great things. So the little horn is the Antichrist. And the Bible specifically says he comes up from out of the European Union. Yeah, but I cannot tell you his ethnicity. I don't know that for sure. He could be Muslim. But the Bible also calls him an Assyrian. I don't know if you can. But I know that there are about 500,000 Assyrians that have migrated into Europe as well. Okay, very good. Thank you. Great question.
Can you?
Yes, sir.
Can you explain Babylon?
So which Babylon? The Mystery Babylon?
Yeah, Babylon.
Mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. Mystery Babylon is the end time false religious system. that's being established as we speak. And the Bible calls it the Great Harlot, Mystery Babylon, the mother of harlots and all her daughters. It is a compromised church. Again, like I said, the Bible refers to a true church of Jesus Christ as a virgin. The Apostle Paul said, I present you as a chaste virgin unto Christ, the true church of Jesus Christ, an uncompromised individual. That's why you got to be part of a true Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. And then you scared me to death right there. I was like, what? And then, but the Bible likens the Bible likens a Mystery Babylon in Revelation chapter 17 as the false religious system that will be at the helm. But the Bible says she has daughters. And you'll learn about this in the Bible study. You get real detailed, but it's the false religious system in the end time that has sown into all these other churches. Many of the churches broke off. So I'm just going to be honest with you. Rome is the mother of harlots. Okay? She has daughters. Daughters that still adhere to some of their teaching. And the Bible calls it the mother of harlots because she has daughters. And many of the churches that broke off of her but still adhere to much of her teachings, they're part of her daughters. So it's the false religious system in the end time. And God's coming back. And the Bible says He will actually destroy Rome. How do I know that? There are six specific clues in Revelation chapter 17 that point specifically to Rome. It's not the United States or anywhere else. I know a lot of people like to paint the United States as Mystery Babylon, but it's the city of Rome and the religion that is predominant there. I'll leave it at that. Yes.
This Bible study that you asked us to fill out today, is it going to be here or is it going to be on Zoom?
No, it's going to be here. It's going to be here at the church. And, well, are you not live close to here?
No, we're not.
Oh. Okay. Well, so if to help you out, if you don't live close to here, I know many of people drove from Maine, different places. No, I understand, but I'm saying if you can't make it here, you could go to endtime.com and get most of the information, but it's not going to be in a Bible study format. The best thing about coming to the Bible study is you get the Q&A, you get the outlines, you get it's the camaraderie of coming to a Bible study. You get your questions answered. Because here's what we found in COVID. In COVID, we found that gathering together and information is one of the most important things people were looking for. What do we do? Where do we go? Blah, blah, blah. That you'll develop a family when you get into a Bible study like this. It will become a family. I've done it so many times. And I have people today from my Bible studies years ago that will contact me and say, how are we doing? Give me an update. And, you know, you have people to talk to, whereas a lot of people feel, I'm going through this alone. That's why it's good to be, number one, part of a good church, but number two, part of a good Bible study. but to my knowledge, I don't think they're going to live stream it. That really would be up to these guys, but I don't think they will. But the Bible study, I mean, you know, maybe we can do one at your church someday. I don't know. It just depends. But endtime.com. Most of this information is located there anyway. We do radio programs every day that's archived for free. And we're talking about this stuff all the time. It's all on there. End Time Plus is all on there. It's just not in a Bible study format. I like the physical Bible study. I've facilitated those for years. And matter of fact, I'm going to work with a church in downtown Dallas. They're starting a church down there. And I'm going down to help them myself. As many times as I can participate, but End Time Plus, the material's on there. Yeah, understand. Just go to Understanding the End Time, and that's what they're going to show here starting Tuesday. But again, it's not a Bible study format. The Bible study format is the best, really. Obviously, if you don't live here, you'll have to go through that. But the Bible study, it's the camaraderie of the people and walking through this end time with a group of like-minded believers. I'm telling you, there's nothing better than a good Bible study. Right. Nothing. And this church, I was talking to your pastor, I'll be talking to him more. There's the potential that they would do Understand the End Time plus some other things. We've got a discipleship program called Understanding the Bible. Most people, I'm telling you, my daughter taught a Bible study to a group of high school students years ago. And she had a big old round table full of girls and 16, 17, 18 years old. She said, okay, I want to know where you guys are at. I'm going to start this Bible study with you guys. And she said, she was asking them basic Sunday school child questions. Noah, David and Goliath, things like that. They knew about those characters. They could not tell them, my daughter, the stories of them. And so, and having been in ministry all these years, I found out that biblical illiteracy, I'm telling you, people that you would think, well, they've got it all. Mm-mm. No, it's they're reading off teleprompters, and they've got questions that are pre-programmed and blah, blah, blah. And to do something like I'm doing right now, that they're never going to happen. So, very important that we get in Bible study teachers. So, the pastor, they're going to consider this. We'll talk about it, but understand the end time, and then possibly, now all this is on End Time Plus. Everything we've got out there on the table is on End Time Plus. But going through understanding the Bible, keys to spiritual growth. A lot of people think, when you say spiritual growth, sometimes people's eyes glaze over. Like, I heard what you said, but what in the world? Spiritual growth. A daily prayer life. Daily prayer life is, to a Christian, is like eating in your physical. It's fueling. It's a relationship with God. I talked on the radio today. Somebody asked me about this. I'll be married 36 years in September. And I told my wife I loved her back when we got married. The day we got married, I was like, man, I love you. You're so beautiful. But what if I hadn't talked to her since then? You think there would be no relationship, right? Well, think about, a lot of people say they love God, but they never pray. So, is there any relationship there? You say, I love God and He loves me and, you know, we'll talk every Thanksgiving when I pray over the turkey. No, it doesn't work like that. God, Jesus Christ is somebody you should love more than your spouse. Yes. And you scare me to death every time you're doing that. And I'm like, what? I want to duck or something. But the thing is that a daily prayer life. So spiritual, you know, leadership, moving on. And so that it's different things that this church is devoted to this stuff. So, but all that's on. If you can't get here, all of it's on End Time Plus. Yes, sir. Back in the back.
I want to know when Ezekiel 30 and 39, when Omega God, the Russian up north, made Israel.
Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the Battle of Armageddon. And so there are two wars that we're looking for in the near future, World War III and the Battle of Armageddon. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is the same war as Revelation chapter 16, the Battle of Armageddon. World War III is only mentioned once in the Bible. That's Revelation 9, verse 13 through 21. The Battle of Armageddon is Ezekiel 38 and 39. If you go to Ezekiel 39, verses 17, I think, through 20 or 21, it talks about God at the Battle of Armageddon, that God will call the beast of the field and the fowls of the air to feast on the king, on the flesh of kings, captains, and mighty men. That only happens one time in the near future. The exact same prophecy is in Revelation 19 at the Battle of Armageddon, when the Lord comes back and he plants his feet upon the Mount of Olives, he will destroy. The Bible says he destroys 5/6 of Russia. And all the armies that come down. The vials of the wrath of God in Revelation chapter 16, 6 of those are reserved for the armies. You know, the Bible says that the hailstone will fall about the size of a talent, the weight of a talent. A lot of people think that's going to happen globally. It's not. It's localized right there, and it's focused on those armies that come down against Israel to battle at the Battle of Armageddon. And the Bible says in Revelation 19 that when the Lord comes back, after he destroys them armies, that he will call the fowls of the air and the beast of the field to come and feast on the same thing as Ezekiel 39, on the flesh of kings, captains, and mighty men. So Ezekiel 38 and Battle of Armageddon, same war. Yep.
The book of Matthew mentions false prophets and trying to deceive us. Would you say that that's directly associated with end times? And would you say that there's more false prophets today than there have been in years past?
So, that's a good question. Are there more? For me to tell you numbers, I would be speculating. However, Jesus was warning. There's been false prophets all the way back since the time of the apostles. However, we went into the dark ages. We've come out of the dark ages. Now we're in the age of enlightenment. And I know that there are, you know, I think Jesus is just warning us about that. These are one of the things that will face you. Now, he warned about it many times in that chapter. But can I say there's more? The only reason I would say there's more now is because we've got 8 billion people on the earth. At the time of Jesus, I think there was like 250 million people on the earth. So I would say there's probably many more today than there was back then, only because of the numbers, the population. But Jesus certainly would be warning. The Apostle Paul warned us about them. He said, when we go off the scene, grievous wolves will come in amongst you, even amongst the church, to steal these truths away. And that certainly did happen, because once the apostles died off because of the lack of the Word of God, we went off into the Dark Ages, and that's when, you know, some bad things happened to the Word of God and the truth, you know, and different things. And so thank God for Martin Luther, who started the Reformation, and we broke off into that and come back to the Age of Enlightenment now, where we're coming back into. I believe we have the full truth at this point. I don't believe that we're seeing the miracles that we will at some point. Because in the Bible, they had people walking by and their shadows was healing people. I believe there will come a time in the near future when faith is very high and we'll see the miracles. I've seen miracles, but I haven't seen them like we will in the future, I believe. So, only because of the numbers, I believe it's much more prominent today. Next. Yeah.
Hi. Hi. Yes. So, too close. So yesterday you started talking about China. You started just going into different things happening with them kind of coming into the country, the border,
yeah.
Things like that.
Yes.
You stopped short. Can you elaborate on that, please? And I wanted to also know, like, what are your thoughts about China actually invading the United States and actually starting a war here in this
yeah.
country?
So I'll be speculating. But I'm telling you what I'm reading in the news is that, again, I talked about Iran, who is wanting to destroy the United States. They believe they're religiously bound. I talked last night about Mahdiism, and that Iran believes they're religiously bound to destroy Israel and the United States to quicken the coming of their Mahdi figure, their Messiah figure. So I've read articles that said that the FBI and different people have already talked, and they've found Iranian terrorists already here in the United States, cells of them, okay? And so if you're going to destroy a country, the best thing to do if you can't defeat them militarily is to, if they've got open borders and it's an open door saying come one, come all, then they can come in and establish different cells here that at a certain time they just call them up and say, okay, you guys invade from inside out, we're coming in. I believe that that's what's happening now. And again, will it happen like that? I don't know. I know that World War III is going to happen. The Bible says it will emanate or originate in the Middle East region, Turkey, Syria, and Iraq, and Iran. However, with as much as we are an ally of Israel, okay, Russia and China are an ally of Iran. If we go to war, if we were to attack Iran today and start bombing their nuclear facilities and things like that, Russia and China need the oil that's there. So they're going to protect their interests as well. I don't think they really care about Iran, but they've signed military pacts and different things with Iran. And Iran has been helping supply unmanned aerial vehicles, drones, for Russia to invade Ukraine. And so China has also, we've found, there are tens of thousands of Chinese already here, military-aged personnel, men and women, mostly men, that many people believe. I've got articles stating that many people believe that they are posting their much of their army here on the inside for an eventual invasion from the outside, and then they can just meet in the middle. But will that happen? I don't know the answer to that. I've got articles stating that, but I'm speculating. All I can do that I've got to teach things I can prove. I know they're here. I can prove that. What they will do in the future, I don't know. Because World War III certainly would be a nuclear war. You're not going to kill 40 times of what they did in World War II without having a nuclear war. It's going to go nuclear. And so the Bible talks about in Revelation chapter 9, the plagues that they would kill them with. It's the same thing that's talked about in Zechariah. The Bible says that at the Battle of Armageddon, that these are the plagues with which I will come against them that come down to Israel to battle. The Bible says their eyes will be consumed in their socket, their tongue is consumed in their mouth. It's the same thing that happened with the people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There were people that were walking around, they called them ghost people. There were little kids walking around with no eyes, and much of their bottom part of their face was burnt off, including their tongue, and they were walking around, and they were like ghosts. And nobody knew who they were. They were just people walking around. And you can see pictures of them on the internet. And because of the bombs of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, horrific situation. So it appears that that's what it's going to be like in the near future at the World War III. But I'm just watching people that, you know, China and Iran and different people. There are actually no-go zones for American citizens in the United States from Islamic factions. They've got these huge compounds, and American citizens aren't allowed to go there. And so things are certainly, you know, being prepared for something. But what they'll do at the end time, I don't know for sure. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to ask about Isaiah 17 and Damascus being destroyed.
I believe that it's going to be thrown to the ground. It's going to be demolished. Battle of Armageddon, in my opinion. Okay. Yep. Because the Battle of Armageddon is going to come right down through there. And I thought maybe at the Syrian Civil War, but no. Go ahead.
What does the end time mean?
Yeah, great question. Wow, awesome. What does the end time mean? So when I say end time, a lot of people think it means the end of the world. That's not what I'm talking about. The end of the world is still at least 1,000 years from now. And Matthew chapter 24, the disciples asked Jesus two questions. What's going to be the sign of your coming and of the end of the world? That's a King James version. The word world there, if you look in the Greek, it's A-I-O-N, which means age. So they really were asking him, what's the sign of your coming and of the end of this age going to be like? The end of this age is when the second coming of Jesus Christ will occur. The rapture will occur. We have the marriage supper of the Lamb in the sky. We go straight to fight on behalf of Israel. It's one continuous event. And that's when he would establish his kingdom. The world governments will be done away with. The Bible says the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. It's Revelation chapter 11, at the seventh trump. And that's when he will establish his kingdom here on the earth for 1,000 years. It's the 1,000-year millennial reign. And the Bible says that we who are raptured will rule and reign as kings and priests with him for that 1,000-year period. So the end time means the end of this age. Our program on television used to be called The End of the Age. And we had to rebrand it after my father-in-law passed away to The End Time Show. But end time, we're simply referring to the time when Jesus Christ will come. The rapture will occur. We will have the marriage supper of the Lamb in the sky. This is Revelation 19. And then he will come back on the Mount of Olives with the church. The Bible says in the book of Jude, he comes with 10,000s of his saints to fight on behalf of Israel at the Battle of Armageddon. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That event is just ahead of us now. And that's what we mean when we say end time. We're living in that era just prior to that second coming. Fabulous question. Thank you. Awesome.
That's my son.
Oh, all right. Did you tell him what to ask? No, I'm teasing. No, it was a great question.
What do you think about AI, artificial intelligence?
Artificial intelligence. So the last two magazine covers that we have had at End Time Magazine have been created by AI. So are we going to hell? No. The fact of the matter is AI can be used for good and AI can be used for bad. It just depends on who's got control of the levers controlling it. So at this point, I don't know, but I'm not worried. Who asked that? Yeah, he did. She did. Great question. Wow. I'm not really worried about it because the Bible says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. I'm not worried about the Antichrist. I'm not worried about World War III. I'm worried about building the kingdom of God. That's my mindset in the end time. Revival, revival, revival. So when it comes, I get asked about AI all the time. I'm asked about, you know, how are we going to function, Dave? Do we need to become preppers? What are we going to do? I'm like, look, I'm not going to become a prepper. I know that God rained manna and quail down for millions of people in the desert for 40 years. Now, I would prefer Big Macs and stuff like that. But the fact of the matter is that I'm not worried about it. God, the Bible says, take no thought what you shall eat, drink, or wear. Your heavenly Father knows you have need of these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So, I'm not worried about AI, the Antichrist, all this stuff. I mean, I'll be honest with you, and I know this. My father-in-law knew it too. I'm kind of at the tip of the sword on this stuff. I mean, I'm talking about all this stuff out on radio and television land, okay? Years ago, my father-in-law was invited to speak at the United Nations, and they said no. He was invited by one of the ambassadors, and they were like, oh, no, Irvin Baxter is blacklisted here. Well, I'm sure I am as well. And so, but was my father-in-law worried about all that kind of stuff? No. Will there come a time when something might happen to me? Possibly. Am I worried about it? No. Because if I get put in fear mode in my mind, I will not want to get out of my house in the morning. And so the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you're not living by faith, you're not pleasing God. Okay? And so, yes, I've got a few of those buckets of food, the 25-year stuff. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. For any kind of catastrophe, my electricity could go out for a week. And so if electricity in Dallas goes out, man, the stores are empty. So for any kind of catastrophe, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you get put in fear mode in your mind, you're not going to want to talk to anybody. It's just, I've talked to some of the Jews over there in Israel, and they're afraid of going out and witnessing to other people about our class because they're afraid of losing their citizenship. And I'm like, y'all are going to have to get over that. Because we've got to reach this world for the cause of Jesus Christ. And our society is trying to drive Jesus Christ out of it and bring in Satan. You look at some of these Academy Award shows and all these things where the people are singers. And they'll get up. And one of the last ones, some lady got up and rubbed this stuff that looked like blood on her. And they had blood coming out of the walls. And she was singing about demons and all this junk. And people were just applauding. But if somebody got up there and said, let me talk to you about Jesus, people would get up and start leaving. Our society's driving Jesus out and trying to bring in. The Bible says in the end time they will worship the dragon. But that's why I'm here, to put Jesus back on people's radar. Because if they're going to be saved, they're going to know Jesus Christ. Okay. Two more and then we'll wrap it up, guys. Sorry, I knew.
All right. There are so many questions. But I just recently learned that there was been a 7-year agreement signed between all the countries except for Jordan, all around Israel, going against Israel. And I was wondering if you knew anything about this, and how many prophecies do you know offhand that are not fulfilled yet before the end of this age?
Okay, so I am aware. I'm not aware of a 7-year peace agreement that's been signed. There is a 7-year Laudato Si agreement, Laudato Si document that kind of a plan that's been put in place by the Pope for the Green Agenda and sustainable development and all these other things. But I'm not aware of a peace agreement that's been signed. Israel has signed peace agreements with Jordan and signed peace agreements with Egypt and things like that. But a 7-year peace agreement with all of the other ones, I'm not aware of that. And believe me, I'm on this stuff all the time, every day. And so I'm not aware of a 7-year peace agreement that's been signed. One of the things that started October 7th war, this Gaza war, was a potential agreement that Saudi Arabia, a normalization agreement, that Saudi Arabia was going to come into the Abraham Accords and sign a normalization agreement with Israel. Iran was not going to allow that to happen, so they sent Hamas in to invade Israel. They said that's one of the reasons that they invaded. But the international community is hanging a normalization agreement with Saudi Arabia and many of the other Arab nations. They're hanging that as a carrot for Israel, saying, hey, if you will create a two-state solution, then this normalization agreement will happen, which would open up most of the other Arab nations to come into the Abraham agreement, and Israel, free trade and all this stuff, travel and everything would open up to the Middle East. But I'm not aware of that. What was your second question? Okay, I don't know. I know that there are, because some of them are in the process of happening. So I don't know for sure if I can give you the exact number, because there's about 53 prophecies concerning just the Antichrist alone. And so, because some of them are ongoing, I don't know if I could give you a conclusive answer on that. I know that a vast majority of them have already occurred, and there's only a few left. If I had a, I don't have a timeline here, but I've got a timeline that I've taught through for years, and there's only a few left before the second coming of Jesus Christ. I want everybody to know that. It's a great question. There's only a few left. I mean, I can go through a timeline here. There might be, and some of them are, some of them happen simultaneously, all at the same time. The abomination of desolation, the war in heaven, all of those things happen simultaneously. The stopping of the sacrifices by the Antichrist in Revelation, in Daniel 11, all of those happen at the same time. So many of them happen at the same time. It's not like they're stretched out. So when I say the second coming of Jesus Christ is right around the corner, it could be, I mean, I'm not going to throw dates and stuff out here, but I mean, not before very long. And so, but the key is that all of us, nobody's promised tomorrow morning. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm telling this is the reality of life. Anybody ever been to a funeral? Okay. Well, sure. Most of us. Funerals, the Dallas obituaries, I wrote an article on this years ago. The Dallas obituaries, the day I did that, I looked it up and there were 77 people in the Dallas obituary, in the Dallas Morning News. 77 people. Now there's, at that point, there was about 7 million people in the Metroplex, just over. Now we just crossed 8 million. People are coming into Dallas like you can't even imagine. But the fact of the matter is that those obituaries are full every day, every day. And so if you're studying in a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, the Bible says this is the day of salvation. It's not, well, the coming of the Lord's a few years off. Uh-uh. Not me. I'm getting in right now because anything can happen. I got to travel back to Dallas in the morning early. So I'm making sure that I'm ready to go at all times. One more. Yeah.
So Irvin had shared about the two witnesses talking about how they are alive on the earth right now because we're too far down the pike. Mm-hmm. My question would be is through your times together, did he ever discuss more about his thoughts on those two witnesses? Did he search throughout the scriptures to see not who they are, but kind of maybe what line they would have come from?
What line they would come from? No. I've never had a conversation with him about that. I just believe they're two men of God that God will raise up. The Bible calls them prophets. It's going to be two men. And a lot of people have said, "Was it, you know, Enoch and Elijah? Are they going to come back and all this other stuff?" I don't believe that. I believe it's two men of God that God will anoint to preach and teach the gospel of the kingdom of God. I mean, anybody that God, man or woman, that God has sent out to preach in the end time or ever, they preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. I've had a lot of people say, "Well, what's their message going to be?" I know what it's going to be. They're going to be teaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. We're going to be having great revivals throughout the end time. That's what they're going to be preaching. As far as their lineage and who they come from and the line and everything, I never had that conversation, nor do I even have an opinion on it. I don't know at this point. I'll have to read your book. Okay, so with that said, it's about 107. We've been a little bit over, and I know that David is chomping at the bit to be baptized. And so at this point, yeah, amen. I want to say thank you all for having us up here. And I love you. I feel like I know you, even though I may not have ever met you, because we're all in this together, right? And I know that I am a kindred spirit with your pastor and his wife. Me and my wife are, because I know what they teach, and that's few and far between nowadays. And so they've not moved off the apostles' doctrine. They're teaching the absolute truth here. If you're looking for a great church in this area, I would highly recommend this one, because you got to be in a church that's going to take you to heaven. It's not just enough to be part of a church. I go to church. Well, I understand that. What does your church teach? That's what I want to know. And so the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. You need a church that teaches you and will teach you and disciple you and help you to be saved. So thank you all for having us up here, Pastor Greeley and his wife, and your wife, and really, really greatly appreciate it, because it tells me where you're at in wanting to help prepare people for the soon return of Jesus Christ. So with that said, I would encourage you again one last time. The Bible study starts here at 7 o'clock, this coming March 26th, this Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, right here at this church. And these guys, I think it may be held in the back or something. They got TVs and stuff set up back there. Just want to make sure you guys know, very, very important about the Bible study. And with that said, these guys are going to facilitate a baptism, so I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Greeley. Thank you all. We love you, and we'll see you next time.